Micah, you had no idea when you picked those songs, that first song, how it basically covers my sermon. You had no idea that would happen. Now, some of you might say, well, that's just a coincidence. Oh, I think that was God. That was God. And you're going to find out in just a few moments once I get rolling here. I have to ask you to help me say something, Russ. I'll say it, and then you're going to repeat it with me 2 times, okay? Can it really be that easy? Ready? Can it really be that easy? Number 3, can it really be that easy? And we're going to find out how easy something is. It started by having a verse come to mind from James chapter 4 and verse 8. We'll put that up. I'm sure most of us have heard this verse before, and it catches where I'm going and where we're going this morning together. It reads like this: draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. That's it. I think the next one about cleansing your filthy hands is number 9. But anyway, draw near to God, and God will draw near to you. Now, this was given to James, a brother of Jesus, to write this book. Did you know that? It was his half-brother? Yeah, it was his half-brother. Same with the little book of Jude. That was another half-brother of Jesus. Now, I guess if I had to put a title in this sermon is, take it from a skeptic. You know what a skeptic is? Someone who just doesn't really believe. And you know, Jesus' brothers were major skeptics. Yeah. I had this verse come to mind. It took a while to find it. And then I figured, oh, Jess, when are you going to learn to go to Bing? And so I did, and I found it right away. And it's in John chapter 7. And in this chapter, Jesus is ministering, and his brothers are trying to get Jesus' attention. And I'm just going to read the first couple of verses of chapter 7. After these things, when Jesus was ministering, after these things, Jesus was walking in Galilee, and he was unwilling to go to Judea because the Jews were seeking to kill him. Now the feast of the Jews, the Feast of Booths, was near. Therefore his brothers said to him, leave here and go to Judea so that your disciples also may see the works which you're doing. For no one does anything in secret when he himself seeks to be known publicly. Now, Jesus didn't seek to be known publicly, but that was a kind of a sly thing to say to his brother, their older brother. And if you do these things, show yourself to the world. And then verse 5, for not even his brothers were believing in him. Imagine, this is God's son growing up in a family. There's some speculation that he probably did some miracles before he grew up and changed that water to wine, but that doesn't really matter. They grew up with this guy named Jesus, and they didn't believe he was who he was claiming to be. And so I guess you could say his brothers were skeptics. Now, probably most of us at one time or another, we were all skeptics about Jesus too. Anybody other than me? I always believed that there was a God. That's not the problem. The problem was I didn't want to give in to him because I had my own agenda, my own things I wanted to do with my life. And so I was a skeptic as far as wanting to surrender to him. I wanted to do my own thing. God was always there, but I choose to kind of ignore who he really was, skeptic or just idiot. Otherwise, I'd be forced to change my way of living. Is there anyone here that can relate to that with me? That's where I was at. And three things that people struggle with the most, and I do, and you do, whether you realize it or not. And when you're a skeptic, you don't want to give in to these things because you've got your own life to live, your own life to plan. And the three that came to my mind is, number one, our priorities. Now, it's a lot easier to stop some kind of a gross sin that you think, oh, God, it's not going to want anything to do with me. But priorities, you can kind of keep them hid a little bit, but not really, not from God, not from anybody that's walking with God either. So our priorities are things we've got to change. Another one is our attitudes. Anybody ever have any problems with an attitude, eating adjusted? There's at least three of us here, and the rest are just too embarrassed to admit it. No. So our attitudes, our priorities, and then our motives. Why are you doing what you're doing? Doing something so you can get something from somebody else. Our motives. And those things are hard to handle. And you know what? They're impossible to handle on our own because they're so ingrained in ourselves. But God can take care of those things. God can take care of those things. And they did even with James and Jude, Jesus' brothers. They started out being skeptics. They started out, even his own brothers weren't believing in him. That's right in there. You know, one of these verses I'm going to use next is a verse from James. That had to be a challenge for him to write that down. You ever hear eating crow? You ever have to eat crow? Let's turn there. James chapter 1. And we already read the verse from James chapter 4 about draw near to God and he will draw near to you. And I had you say it ahead of time just to get it set in your mind that can it really be this simple? To draw near to God and he'll draw near to you? Doesn't that sound too simple? But it's not. James wrote it because he finally figured it out. It's not hard. And back in chapter 1 of James, there's a verse that I have highlighted, and we'll talk about that for a minute. And then I'm going to write something I wrote next to that verse. It was from a sermon given about 8 months ago, June 3rd, 24. That's my best friend's birthday. So God gave me this insight on your birthday. Maybe you were praying for me or something, I don't know. But let's look at this verse 5. But if any of you lacks wisdom, if you fit into that group, could you at least put your hand up just for a minute? Now I'm going to read it again so I get the rest of the hands up, okay? If any of you lack wisdom, there has to be some things that you, what is going on? I don't like this. God, you're making a mistake. Why are you allowing this to happen? So you have questions. What is going on? But if any of you lacks wisdom, that's you, Jess, let him ask of God. Ask, not just think, just meditate, but ask God. What are we supposed to ask God? Well, before we find out what we're supposed to ask, it says, who gives to all generously and without reproach. Now, are you part of that all? So God is going to give you something if you ask. He's going to give you the wisdom to know how to take care of that dilemma that you're trying to come up with an answer in your life. And not only are you part of the all, and he's going to answer you when you ask, but he's going to do it generously. Isn't that a neat word there? It might be different in some other translations. This is the American Standard, and it's acknowledged as the most accurate of all the translations. And he's going to do that for you because you're part of the all, and he's going to give it to you generously. Remember that word generously. I'm going to use that in closing. And without reproach. You know what come to mind for that? What does that mean? He's going to help you. He's going to give it to you generously, but without reproach. Now, reproach probably comes about because you did something wrong in your life. Am I the only one? We've all did things wrong, right? But you know what? Sometimes those thoughts come back to us and haunt us, and Satan can have a heyday thinking, Jess, you know, you're never going to be able to do this. You goofed up major back then and back that time and this time. No, he gives it to you without reproach. He overlooks all those stupid things that we did. And it will be given to him. It'll be given to him. Now, what I have written next to that verse is this comment that I have labeled under June 3rd, 24. That's your last birthday, Marcella. And I think I spoke on that. It's a sermon. Remember, it's only been 7 or 8 months ago. But this is what I wrote. And this was an insight from God. I could not come up with this on my own. I'm not that smart. It says, turn often towards God. Turn often towards God. If you're taking notes, or that, you could scribble that on your Bible for that verse, verse 5. Turn often. How often do I need God? We were singing about every breath, right? How often do we need his help? How often do we need his wisdom? How often do we need advice how to do that? Just turn often towards God. And you know what I've learned? The more you practice this thing, turning often towards God, the more it becomes the natural thing to do on a regular basis. And that's how it's worked with me. There's no reason it shouldn't work the same with you. Turn often towards God. James obviously got past that spot of being a I can't read that word. I hope you use that word. What? Septic. No, that's a tank. Septic. Okay. Yes. I knew that wasn't it. But I didn't want to say it. But then I heard Micah say it, I thought. You know, dying to yourself is not an easy thing to do. And you could say, well, I did that 4 years ago. I got that out of the way. It's almost like a daily thing, isn't it? You have to learn to die to yourself. It's a principle that God's put in the scripture many, many times. dying to yourself. It's something that we don't really want to go there on our own. God oftentimes, ready for this? If you really don't want to be convicted, close your ears and hold your hands over them as tight as you can. But I'll talk a little louder just in case. God oftentimes allows circumstances in our lives to bring us to where we need to be, but we don't want to go there on our own. Can you relate to that? Let me give you an example. The first pastor I had was up in Alaska, and I chose his church because that's where my parents went to church in Burick when I was growing up, and it was Assembly of God denomination. And so when I became a Christian, I think, well, I need to get plugged into a church somewhere. I need to have a pastor. So I went to this Assembly of God in Sitka, Alaska, and I still remember his name. His name was Ralph Miller. And probably once a year, for quite a few years, I would write Ralph a letter and send it up to Sitka just to let him know how I was doing. And because he had a big part in discipling me from the get-go. And one of the years, I found out that Ralph died and went to heaven. So I didn't write any more letters. But Ralph put me in charge of teaching teens in Sunday school. I was still a teen myself. I was 19, and I guess I was 20 by the time summer rolled around. And he put me in charge of teaching Sunday school. And one day I was a little late. You ever get late for something? And so in my borrowed car, I was driving a little over the speed limit. And a statey pulled me over in Sitka, Alaska. I said, "Why were you going so fast?" "Oh, I just said I was late for something." "What were you late for, young man?" "I was late to teach the Sunday school class at the church." He said, "Good witness you were today, weren't you?" Yeah. So anyway, when I was up there that winter, I developed a hernia. It's a torn muscle in your groin where it starts bulging out, you know, and they have to go in there and sew it closed. It's kind of a gross thing, isn't it? But last week I talked about climbing in a moose that was dead. But anyway, I had this hernia, and so I knew something was wrong, especially every time I played basketball. I was on a dorm league, and I wasn't that good in high school, hardly at all. But I was getting a little better playing with my dorm league. And one of the days I felt something, and there's a big bulge there. So after that words, I set an appointment for a doctor. And Marcia, do you remember this doctor? It was Dr. White. Remember him? He was the surgeon. Well, you have to understand, when I went to Alaska at 19, I was older than the state of Alaska. Yeah. And so I went there, and I guess they would take whoever they could find to come up and do some doctoring work or whatever. And so I went to see Dr. White, and I said, "Dr. White, I think I got a hernia. Well, let me see." And so right in front of this front door, and it was dark, but still, "Unzip your pants." "I don't feel anything." "Well, I know it's there. It's whenever I play basketball." "Well, next time it happens, you run right over here." I was only about a half a mile away. "And we'll check again." You gotta be kidding. So anyway, so next dorm league basketball game, guess what happened? The bulge was back and it was getting bigger. It was like this. No, not really. But So I said, excuse me, guys. And I jogged over to Dr. White's house. And I knocked on the door. I said, Dr. White. Yeah, what do you want? I was getting ready for bed. You said to come as soon as that ball started coming back and I was playing basketball and it's here. Okay, let's see. So right there in his doorway, he had me pull down my pants. By golly, it is a hernia. So I knew it was all along. How would you like that for an exam with your doctor in front of his front door? But this was Alaska. But anyway, the last frontier. And so they scheduled me for a hernia operation. But I thought I had this covered. Maybe you thought this was covered before too, because 4 or 5 months ago, I gave my life to Jesus. And now I go to Ralph Miller's church and I heard him talk about healing and it's in the Bible. So I'm just going to go to Pastor Miller and have him pray over me. And I won't even have to take my pants down. He'll just pray and it'll happen and it'll be gone. Right? They did and they did, but it didn't. It didn't go away. What do you do in a situation like that? You're trusting God. You know it's in His Word. You tried it and it didn't work. Maybe I had too much reproach in my life. Maybe God was trying to do something in my life. Maybe God was trying to bring me to some place I needed to go that I didn't want to go on my own. So I went under the knife with Dr. White in the kitchen with a hatchet. And they operated, and I woke up, and there I thought I had died and went to heaven, because right in front of me was this nurse's aide. I thought I had seen the beautifulest angel that God ever created. But I was too bashful to say anything to her. So I got healed up at home, and another month or two, the other side bulged. Twins. But anyway, so I went back in. Dr. White said, aren't you glad that there's only two major parts, places where a hernia like this could happen? You don't have to worry about number three. Ooh, that's nice. But guess what? I met this nurse again. And her initials are M-A-R. And I wanted to make them M-A-R-S. With Mars. It was like, you know that story about shooting over the moon? I wanted to shoot over Mars and have her as my wife. And you see, if God would have healed me when I asked him to, and the pastor even prayed, what's wrong with that pastor? I would have missed out on one of the greatest blessings I could have ever experienced. Aren't you glad God doesn't answer your prayers like you want him to certain times? Yeah. My greatest blessing to have a wife like Marcy. Mars for sure, short. Don't worry about God not holding up his end of the deal, doing his part. He'll do his part. And let me say this, God will not be outdone with his generosity. You see what I'm saying? God will not be outdone with his generosity. You think, well, I did this, I did that, I helped here. That's great. But you have no idea just what God's going to do because you had generosity, at least a little bit towards other people. Because God will not be outdone with his generosity. I hate to be late. I can only think of two times that I actually, and this is 48 years starting, two times that I actually forgot about an appointment. And one of them was this Friday morning before we got together. Yeah.
I thought you were talking.
No, no. Yeah, it's all Patrick's fault. No, no. I was supposed to have an elders meeting at 7 o'clock. Yeah. Micah called about 7:15. Mom answered. Mars answered. Marcella is just coming to the elders meeting. I think he's awake now. I'll see. And you have to catch the significance of this. I just totally forgot. I was up till about 4 a.m. working on the sermon. And when I finally get to go back to bed, I didn't wake up for the 7 o'clock meeting. I felt horrible that I missed it. And again, this is God. This is how God works. If you're generous with yourself towards God, you have no idea, Jess, how generous God's going to be to you, Jess. Because I forgot. And I popped out of bed. No, I just sat up in bed. And I said to God, why did you let me sleep in? Because again, turn often towards God, whether it's the good times or the bad times. I wasn't complaining to him. I wasn't saying, God, you're a bad God. I just said, God, why did you let me sleep in? And just like that, two thoughts popped in my mind. And I knew they were both from God. Number one, Jess, you just need to slow down and get some rest. I left you sleep in. And number two, Mike is going to do fine leading that, even without you there. Huh. And he did. When you say, let's see, who's here? Chris, did he do a decent job? Perfect. It had to be you, because I wouldn't have done a perfect job. No, but you see what I'm saying? That, and then you know what happened as soon as I heard those two little phrases from God? You needed to get some rest. Michael will do a fine job. I just had a peace come over me that's beyond our understanding. That's what God calls this kind of peace when it happens. And at first I was embarrassed. I was not being responsible. But then I felt, God's got this covered. I needed rest. So I was going to spend all the next day with Patrick and Josh and Brian and Chris and Charlie and Patrick, your grandpa, which I really enjoyed getting to know. You said I would. You were right. So I needed to get a little rest to put up with that, all those responsibilities. And I had this peace come over me that was beyond my comprehension, because I wasn't frustrated anymore. I knew God had it covered. You know what I did? I went back to sleep for 4 hours. No, no, then I would have been really late for Patrick. But, you know, I just got up, I got dressed, I went down, I charged batteries for all the tools and went there. And can you see how God can take care of things? And his generosity is way beyond anything we could ever give. And that's the kind of God we have. That's the kind of God we have. Now, in closing, who has a stopwatch here? Anybody? Patrick, Josh, you have one? Okay. Go ahead and set it for 5 minutes, but don't start it until I tell you to. Now, I'm going to give us all 5 minutes. And then you're going to say, when it goes off, okay, everybody stop. You're going to try this because I'm guessing a lot of us doesn't believe that it could really be that easy to draw near to God and He'll draw near to you. It doesn't take a lot of time. It just takes a decision to do that. And there's three things you do when you want to draw near to God. Now, I know worship helps sometimes and fasting is amazing sometimes, but these three things you could do anytime you need God's answer. Let Him ask and God will give it to all generously without reproach, and it will be given to Him. So the first thing you do when you want to draw close to God and get an answer, think of something right now. Don't say it to anybody else, but think in your mind, what's something you would like an answer to? Everybody got something? Something you would like an answer to. Now, you just ask. Now, the trick of asking is, number one, don't draw it out for 2 hours talking to God about the thing you want an answer to. Just a short, precise little question like, God, what do you think I should do about this situation? And you have your own situation. I have my own situation. You know, one of the biggest problems with praying is we go to God, we want to connect with Him, we want Him to draw close to us, but we don't give Him a chance because, God, I'm here and I have this situation and I don't know what to do. It's a big headache and I've been working on it for months and months and nothing seems to work and it just keeps getting worse and worse and worse and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Just shut thy mouth. Zip the lip and let God have a chance to speak. Why do you think God gave us two ears to listen and only one mouth? Because if He was really smart, He'd only give us a little peephole. But no, we have a mouth to share the gospel. But we got two ears, so 2/3 of that time should at least be listening when you're praying. So you ask Him a question. Remember the story where Jesus took Peter and James and John, I think were the three, up to this Mount of Transfiguration, and all of a sudden Elijah and Moses appeared to Him. And I love Peter. He probably is my favorite. I can relate to him. Sometimes he just sticks his foot in his mouth. You ever notice that? But he loved Jesus. And he's seen all this. And he said, Jesus, you want us to stop and build some tabernacles, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah? And out of the heavens came this response from Father God. Peter, now this is paraphrased, Peter, shut your big fat mouth and listen. So that's what he did. And God spoke to him what he needed to say. So again, we have to be careful. We don't keep going on and on and on. Make this question short, precise, and then spend time to listen. So when you get your 5 minutes starting in about 2 minutes, you can state that thing just to yourself. No one else needs to know what you prayed about, nor the answers you got. It's just for you. But make it short, precise, and then listen. And then lastly, you just have to trust that that was from God. And that's what you need to do. That's a big part of it. Might be the hardest part. Well, I don't know, God. Well, didn't you ask? You asked for a piece of bread, and I'm not going to give you a snake, am I? Or a rock? So you asked, and I told you. So let's go with it. Are you ready? Josh is going to hit it. Nice and loud buzzer when it goes off. 5 minutes, go.